You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
I will say this for the theme of this one, at least it is somewhat memorable, even if I didn't particularly care for it overall.
I liked it. It was fine.
I know Chris Herman's the biggest hater of this new theme.
I have some critiques.
But you don't like electric slide guitar in a World War I setting? That's totally period appropriate.
It doesn't really mesh very well.
But I still am going to prefer the original television version. Come on.
Yeah, but that really wouldn't have fit in this movie.
That would have been awesome. Sam Raimi put together Spider-Man and they didn't use the Spider-Man theme song.
It was in that movie.
But I was like, that should have been the score, the entire thing.
This is Wonder Woman, the new version. I'm Chris.
I'm Sarah.
Lola.
Marco.
Herman.
And yeah, we're going to review this. Let me just start off by saying, oh my God, it's a DC Universe movie since Man of Steel. I actually want to see again. Mm-hmm. I hate to be that guy, but sure, I know I don't. I love being that guy. Those other films sucked. They were bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this one, I didn't just enjoy. I loved it.
Right?
Yeah, I thought it was great. Whereas the other ones, I wanted it to end so badly. I was like, you know what? Superman, just punch me in the face.
I think part of it is that this movie actually feels like it has a little bit more to say about who their characters are as people. Mm-hmm. Those other ones, I mean, you start off from the premise, first off, Marco, as I were discussing this earlier, if you make Superman nothing but relentlessly grim and dark, mm-hmm. then there's no, like, juxtaposition between him and Batman.
Right.
There's just, they're kind of the same guy. Why is that interesting? Mm-hmm. There's, you know, I mean, I get Zack Snyder has said famously multiple times, like, oh, nobody wants to see the big blue Boy Scout. I respectfully disagree.
I disrespectfully disagree with him on that.
But this version of Wonder Woman actually is the comic book character of Wonder Woman. I mean, obviously she's not the original conception, which was essentially a S&M fetish girl.
Bondage.
I mean, the guy who created this was Wonder Woman was in an unusual relationship with his wife and his secretary, and they were all really into S&M and bondage gear. And
was that the secretary joke that was in there?
He also, the rope of truth. He invented the lie detector. The lasso of truth. The guy who wrote Wonder Woman invented the lie detector. So that's kind of like, oh, well, look at that. Yeah,
I think they had lie detectors.
But that's not nearly as creepy as.
Are you woman-splaining to me?
I am. I'm woman-splaining to you.
Well, and like you were saying, I think it's a big departure from a lot of the superhero movies that we've been seeing where the main character is relentlessly sincere.
So very sincere. She's the first one of these characters we've seen in the new DCU that really feels like a superhero. She is good to her core. And she's baffled that everyone else isn't.
But she's not a stupid child fish out of water. She's wise. Maybe she doesn't quite know how things are going to work, but she knows what is happening in the world.
She's a fish out of water culturally. But she's not in the sense that, like, she's stupid. They even say right up front, she speaks over 100 languages. Right. She's absolutely brilliant. And as she starts to discover, she's no normal Amazon either, who may be ultimate badasses, trained to fight since they're little kids, but there's something even more special about her. And part of the journey of this movie is watching her sort of her Bildungsroman, if you will, her coming of age, is coming of powers, of starting to realize, wow, I can do that? Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, one of the things that makes this movie as good as it is, that you're kind of excited along with her discovering, Jesus Christ, I could jump insanely far. I could just, that sequence where she first learns, I could jump really far, and I also can, punch through concrete without thinking about it. Oh, you think someone would have pointed this out to me before?
Amazonian concrete.
PCP, anybody can do that.
She's like, hey, Mom, let's go punch some concrete. She's like, I'm good, honey. You go ahead.
Well, for me, there was also kind of this interesting, almost reverse hero's journey thing where, you know, she's not, she's certainly not unwilling at any point in the beginning. No. She's the most gung-ho hero possibly in any story I've ever seen. And it's like a backwards journey to what will it take to make her question her willingness.
Yeah. She's not a reluctant hero, but and she's not a Pollyanna. But they, you know, you're talking about, you know, how today's characters are often dark and you can't have just a good person because everyone thinks, oh, if you're good, you're lame and you're stupid. They're like, this manages to straddle both of that. It creates a character that who is smart, who is sincere, but can still evolve, can still learn without compromising her inner decency. And that's a harder character to pull off than a guy who's just always grim.
A character who's coming to terms with, I want to like humanity because Zeus liked humanity and he's the father of all the gods. So there has to be something there. But when she's thrown into the middle of World War One, it's kind of hard to, you know, pull the context out about how these people are supposed to be good.
And I'm glad that they chose this time period because, first of all, we don't get to see much of World War One. And it was probably the most horrific war ever.
War.
Yeah,
the war to end all wars.
It was great.
It was great. What were you going
to
say, Chris?
No, I was going to say, but, you know, she comes to understand man and that they're all directed by their one little thing.
Yes.
Their watches. Their watches, of course.
Actually, that was my favorite joke in the whole thing. I mean, they had to throw a dick joke in there somewhere, and as dick jokes go, that was a pretty good one.
Because she's never seen a penis before.
No, she has. She talks
in
about
pictures.
Yeah, she knows all about it.
Very well read on the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was very well handled, that conversation that they have in the boat about sexuality and what she knows, and you know, I thought they handled that so well.
Once again, that creepy sexual fantasy about meeting a woman who knows nothing.
Exactly.
She's like, no, I know all of
I am so glad they didn't do that. What is kiss? Please show.
She's like, I know all that. I just failed to see the point.
A lesser filmmaker would have made her the butt of the joke.
Yeah. That's correct.
Agreed.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
But I do find it surprising that, like, the women on this island don't have sex with each other.
Well,
like,
they didn't say they didn't.
Yeah, but they kind of know that it's kind of implied that they don't.
I thought it was implied they did to some degree because she says, like, well, we found that basically where men are absolutely necessary for procreation, they're not really necessary to create pleasure. Mm. Wink.
Yeah.
Well, you don't
There's
need to tango.
There's some other hidden artifacts in that tower that we're not allowed to see.
Yeah, didn't see the golden vibrating
the pleasure
stuff.
I mean, related to the Greeks, I mean, they're famous for their...
True. Lots of toys. Well, anyway, the plot, I mean, really, you guys basically know the plot. This actually hews relatively closely, like I said, to at least, you know, Silver Age Wonder Woman, if not Golden Age, with Gal Gadot. We see her first as
Gadot.
Gadot, you're right. Mm-hmm. Gadot.
It Mama named her Gadot,
right?
I call her Gadot.
Gadot. First as a little girl growing up on Paradise Island with her mother. What is her? I want to say the island's called Themyscira.
Themyscira.
I'll just let him say it every time I need to say it.
Hippolyta.
Connie Nielsen playing Queen Hippolyta is the ruler of these people who she and her sort of her number one, her Riker, played by Robin Wright, General
Who's so awesome!
Yeah, who was like their ultimate warrior. Those two were old enough, they were involved in the original War of the Gods, as is described to us when Zeus and Ares fought and all the gods fell and finally Ares was cast down. And they were placed there to basically keep an eye out in case Ares shows his ugly face again. But they've been living there in isolation for quite a long time and just having a great time fighting, learning how to fight really well and never really having a practical use for that skill.
Well, they're always ready.
They're always ready.
They know it's coming.
That's their whole
thing.
They're
always on edge.
But when a plane crashes through their field of invisibility to their beautiful island with a Chris Pine playing Steve Trevor, which if you follow Wonder Woman mythos is always the love interest at some point. He's like, hey, World War One's going on outside and I got to bring this thing I stole from the bad guy, from the Huns out to, or bad things are going to happen. And the Amazons are kind of like, yeah, that's cool, your shit and all, but no, we're not interested. And Wonder Woman's, but wait, isn't this what they warned us? It sounds like Ares. I'm going! And so she leaves with Steve Trevor being told, you know, if you go, you can never return. I bet you she returns at some point.
She said, you may never return.
You may now. Oh, yeah. Important condition.
Because I was wondering if that was like a condition. It's like, if you leave this island, you're barred forever. She's like, you may never return.
You have to read the fine print.
And it is a mother's love.
It is.
That's the thing that really sells it, because these are not, and you see it with Wonder Woman's character herself. Yes, they're hardened. Yes, they can, you know, kick your ass. But the minute she sees a baby, the minute she meets Samantha, it's one of those tricky things that I think a lot of superhero movies, just movies, get wrong, which is like, well, in order to make a strong female character, she's got to be like this, basically the Terminator. And I'm like, no, she can actually be all of those things and still kick your ass. And I thought that was kind of refreshing than just having her be Terminator in a bikini top.
No. Yeah, and I kind of compared her to... what's her fucking name? Black Widow in the Avengers movies, who, in my opinion, is a horrible female character, because they basically stripped her personality and gave her, like, so many masculine traits, and that she's cold, but also made her, you know, sexy for the male gaze, where she does a lot of the kicks and the, like, squeezing heads between her thighs, whereas Wonder Woman doesn't do any of that. Yeah. And all the Amazons on the island, they still retain a lot of feminine qualities, like community and looking out for each other and motherly love and other familial love that you don't see in, like, any of the other superhero movies female I'm not finished.
Oh, sorry.
And she never did that stupid fucking squeezing a head between her thighs thing. Thank you, movie.
Well, she is, for one, doesn't have super strength as opposed to Wonder Woman. So different fighting style entirely.
No, that is an impractical fighting move. Anybody will tell you that. It is all for show. It is all to tell.
That's written into the character of Black Widow. I mean, the very name. She's basically a spy. And she's like, I'm going to seduce you because you're a man and you're stupid.
Which is weird, because that was never a big part of her story, even in the comic books.
But
it was
Black
always
Widow
weird
has
what
become
that was her.
Such a loaded phrase. When women are described as Black Widows, it usually implies some kind of sexual predator. Wonder Woman does not ever have to stoop to that.
In defense of Black Widow, I will say she does have a really interesting backstory in the comic books. They've explored a lot, especially in the last 5 years
or
so.
Won't.
And if they do decide to make a movie, it would make a really great movie. Just saying.
Yeah,
but anyway, plus Scarlett Johansson in a skin-tight suit. I'm sorry, it came out. I didn't mean to. It's
true,
though.
I would like your fantasy if your best friend was really dark and had a tragic past but was also smoking hot.
Yeah.
You're like, that's kind of creepy in a way if you sustain it for too many characters. One is okay.
I can still have fantasize about her as long as I meet her. I keep my eyes like this, right?
Anyway, I don't want to talk about that because that's disgusting. And Wonder Woman doesn't do any of that. That's another thing about this movie. It was not for the male gaze. There were, from what I could see, no shots of just her butt in the center of the frame, or just her boobs, or a lot of low angle shots, like from a man's point of view. It was all her. This is a movie, I think, that is for girls and women, and I came out of it just like, I want to kick some ass and still retain my femininity.
I mean, I think she's beautiful and sexy, though, without having to do close-ups of her boobs.
Absolutely. And like, that's the thing that makes it great. Like, they do comment on her appearance, that she is stunning and beautiful. It doesn't faze her. It doesn't offend her, but it also doesn't flatter her, because that doesn't mean anything to her. Because
she knows she could kill any one of them with her fingernail.
Well, yeah, but like,
I think she also has bigger priorities.
Yeah, exactly. She has
and areas
priorities.
Of the world, I kind of got to focus on that. Right.
And her bigger priority is back to the plot. Meanwhile, in the plot, it's not your fault. She has decided that Danny Houston must be Ares, because he's this German commander, Eric Ludendorff. Poor, no wonder he's a villain with he's playing a villain. He's Danny Houston. What is the guy going to do? Look at him.
Snort poppers that give him all kinds of superhuman strength.
A little superhuman strength. And he works with Dr. Poison, played by Aletta Anaeya. She doesn't call herself that, but, you know, people behind her back is like, oh, it's Dr. Poison.
She's like, what'd you call me?
That's a super villain name in a long time.
Yeah. And so she's like, oh, he's got to be Ares. So she is like, look, you're going to take me to the front. I don't care what it takes. And we're going to, so I can kill this guy. And he's like, but you can't just go to the front. You can't just go, okay, we're at the front. Let's get two tickets for the front, please.
But that's how they did it in ancient Greece.
Probably. They had to change the front.
Yeah,
next stop, the front.
This is our stop. Let's go.
And he puts together a team of ragtag kind of losers who are really good at what they do to form their little dirty dozen to go out and escort her out to there, where immediately they find out she didn't really need them at all.
No, she did.
Yeah, she did.
She did need them.
She needed them for conversational purposes.
Yeah. No, but
there were a couple little moments where, like the shield. And,
yeah.
They help her. They're not there to... They're not there to do the work for her. They're not there to just stand on the sideline and go, ooh, she's so much better than everybody. They actually work together as a team. What it reminded me of is the few times I actually see this in a superhero movie where I like it is like a few moments in Avengers where you have Hawkeye like, I'm giving, you know, surveillance, I'm giving directions, I'm doing support while those superpowered dudes are doing all the hard work. Or Jedis and clones. It's like, you guys are going to cut down everybody, but we will coordinate. That was a really good, solid team. I'd watch a whole movie of just those guys going on adventures.
I mean, she's also having a crash course in human nature.
Yeah, and that's more than anything, I think, their sort of balance. Like, she has to be reminded there are good people by Steve Trevor especially being there, being that middle point. And I did like the fact that the movie didn't feel to get its point across that it had to emasculate him either. He's not that. He's always his own person who quickly realizes, right from the bat, completely respects her as a person and a character, and is like, she's so beautiful, she's making me very nervous to be around, but that's about as far as it goes.
But he's also impressed by her strength and her, you know, just everything about her, which I thought was really great.
He doesn't have that moment where in a lot of movies he would have been like, oh, my dick is shrinking inside my body, you know? He's like, this is great, we're beating the Huns, let's go!
I know you're super-powered, honey, but let a man take it.
They complement each other very well throughout the film.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing where, neither of them demasculate or, you know, each other, if that's the right word to use.
Defeminate.
Or whatever. Yeah, I mean, just, you know. And I really bought into the relationship where it's kind of been my biggest problem with a lot of superhero films where they try to force a romance and it doesn't really work. I mean, I can even think of, like, even the Avengers movies where I think that has not been done very well. Here, it's like it builds over time, and it's not one where they're constantly doing lovey-dovey eyes at each other. No, it's like it feels like an actual relationship. Which is, like, really interesting. I'm glad that DC, of all the the big comics companies, actually managed to do that.
Yeah, there's actually some degree of subtlety.
Yeah, it really is.
Was Zack Snyder not on set?
Oh, he was on set for something.
Yeah, certainly. I will say, I agree, the chemistry between these characters in general is really strong, and one of the reasons this works as well as it does, we actually start to care about all these people, which is more than you can say about anyone in Man of Steel or Batman
v Superman. I cried at one point in this movie.
Wait, did you?
Yeah.
Aww.
I don't see on occasion, but I cry at any good movie. And this was a good movie. I mean, I did have some problems, and I don't know how far we're going to go spoiler-wise, but some of my same basic problems in every superhero movie come the third act, where we start to get some, you know, expected stuff. But along the way, it's a bit of a long movie at a little close to 2.5 hours, but there's a lot of good world building, there's a lot of good character development, and a lot of this credit goes to the director,
Patty Jenkins,
who, you know, did Monster.
Such a great movie.
Great movie. Got a lot of Oscar buzz. Charlize Theron won. Obviously a director great with actors. Then stopped doing films for a while and focused exclusively on television. Everything from like Entourage to, she has a whole bunch of other stuff she's done. So I was kind of surprised when they brought her in, but it was such a good choice because yes, there's all the pyrotechnics and all the stunt fighting, some of which works, some of it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But the character stuff, that works. I mean, if I cut out anything other than this movie that disappointed me, it was the action, special effects, spectacle stuff. I wouldn't give up a single frame of just those characters being in a room talking to one another.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree. I liked all the action up until the final big CG-laden punch-up, which even by DC movie standards wasn't bad. I could actually follow what was happening.
What was going on?
It was a little like Dragon Ball Z for me, where it was just like big flashing, and I was like, you know what? I don't really care.
It resembled in terms of like style all the other fights we've seen in DC, but it was better filmed, and it still there's still something about, I don't know if it's just DC's CG department or what it is, but they can't quite get over that ragdoll look for their CG characters, where you know immediately you're looking at a CG character. So far, Marvel has in fact gotten that, not perfect, but better down than DC has. I don't know why that is.
You should
is,
just throw real people around.
I don't see what, you know, ragdolls. Back in the 80s in Hong Kong when they were making action movies, they just let actors die all the time.
I mean, I don't care. They're just actors.
Yeah, you got a great movie, you know, and where everybody's happy.
For the craft.
So you see that? That's my grandma. She's the one who fell over that off that cliff and exploded. Your grandmother was badass.
I guess for myself, I thought like most of the action wasn't filmed all that well. Like Jenkins was really relying on a lot of slow motion. I don't know if that carried over from, you know, the Zack Snyder films, but you're hiding the fact that none of your actors can fight.
Yeah.
And, you know, having seen a lot of like the Marvel movies where you actually have like, they're slowed down, you see what was happening, you see what's happening, and I hate to compare it to Captain America, but I'm going to because this movie borrows a lot from
the first Captain America.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the third act, they steal the third act from Captain America.
Pretty much,
almost.
Yeah.
And where, like, any emotion I may have had in that scene, it just felt like, oh, I've seen this before. I kind of know what's going to happen.
That's the thing. Like, overall, in terms of plot, there's nothing really original going on here. Mm-hmm. It's heavily taking from the DC comics, from even the DC Wonder Woman animated film that came out not too long ago.
Sure, especially the Ares.
So. Yeah, exactly. And if there's a twist here that happens here you don't see coming from a million miles away, not saying you're stupid or anything, you're not. You're just maybe not as familiar with the language of superhero films or something, because it's like I knew like pretty much 10 minutes after I saw a character what was happening in this film. And that's fine. That doesn't hurt the movie per se. This isn't the type of film where it's going to depend on you like being stunned by the twists and turns of the plot. But what does make it work so beautifully is does almost every superhero movie when they work really well is, once again, you've got well-developed characters with good dialogue that have great chemistry with each other and just enough humor to sell the whole thing. And I think it gets all that stuff just dead on perfect.
Now, in regards to the characters, I felt for the most part, everyone did really well. However, I still stand by the fact that Gal Gadot was miscast as Wonder Woman.
Okay.
I think that this is the strongest that she's been, but when she's there with those emotional moments, it always falls flat for me. Like anytime she's trying to cry or kind of have that connection with Steve at times when they're supposed to be like, oh, this is supposed to be like the big emotional moment for them, it just falls flat and it comes off just really awkward to me. And I'm sorry, but you know, her other previous films were a couple of Fast and Furious films and a Zach Galifianakis comedy. I just really don't understand why she was cast as Wonder Woman, not someone who has had who actually has shown, I'm sorry, talent. And I really just don't think she has any, for the most part.
She worked really well for me. I think she really captured a sense of innocence that I think isn't something, which, I mean, might come along. You know, when I was younger and doing a lot of theater, I would see directors all the time cast less experienced actors if they needed them to carry a sense of innocence that you just can't fake, that you just can't act. Yeah. And I felt like she carried that sense of innocence throughout the film that worked really well for me. Mm-hmm. Like I had no problem connecting with her emotionally, especially when she was seeing certain things, like certain little joyful moments, like with the baby
The ice cream. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the biggest lines comes from an ice cream cone.
Ladies love sweets.
Yeah, but I mean, to me, that was like, you're right. It's a guileless performance. I agree with you. It's probably a lack of technique up to a point, but I think that can be acquired. I think that can be learned. I mean, she's acting up against, you know, Connie Nielsen and Robin Wright, far better actors than she is. But you know what? I never believe for a moment that Robin Wright can do any of that stuff that she does in this movie. Whereas I believe Gal Gadot can do it. I mean, the woman was in the military. So she was a combat trainer. She's got some experience in physicality. And for Wonder Woman, that's the problem. If you cast an actress who's really pretty and really talented, but can't actually convince you that she can throw a punch, it doesn't work. Then you might as well just bring Linda Carter back. Because Linda Carter was charming, she was beautiful, But you never believe for a minute she could kick anybody's ass.
When she spins, it reminds me of, like, if you, like, had a lollipop stick and just went, like,
every time she would spin, I'd be like, you gotta look in one place or you're gonna get dizzy and throw up.
I used to dance.
I don't disagree with you, Herman. I think, if we were seeing, like, Diana, Queen of the Amazons, Wonder Woman, she would be miscast completely. But I think as a, like, stepping stone from adolescence into regal queenness, this is a good Wonder Woman. I do think that Chris Pine kind of out-acted her in a lot of
scenes.
He kind of stole the picture from me. I do wish she had been a little stronger in certain things, like just from a, like the way she was standing kind of thing. She does the thing that all tall, skinny girls do where she kind of hunches a bit. And it's like, your shoulders back a little bit. Come on. You're throwing punches. and that was another thing. I wish they had, cast a wider variety of female body types for the Amazons. I wish Wonder Woman was buffer because she is supposed to be super fucking strong, but I guess you can't really work out if you're really, really strong because the weights won't do anything for you. But
it is an interesting argument. When I see someone who doesn't have superpowers and they're not like built bulk, I'm like, okay, come on.
Yeah.
But if they do have superpowers, you're like, well, the muscles aren't really.
Yeah, you
the
can't. Like,
key.
There's no resistance. But
that's
like,
after a while,
I have a. And you know what? When she was in Batman.
Man Bat and Soup Child.
She's you know older, and she did carry herself a bit. More like, all right, I'm a, you know, older woman now. Like, she was a little more world weary. And I wonder if this was an acting choice where she kind of younged it up a little bit or younged it down.
I mean, I actually like the way they use what I do agree is a lack of experience. I thought Jenkins actually did a good job with, as you said, Marco, we're creating this guilelessness with her saying, I'm working to her strengths, you know, that she's got this sort of, she's kind of wide-eyed about this whole world of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I thought that actually worked pretty well. I, even the stuff between her and Steve, Chris Pine, I thought worked really well. And a lot of that was carried on Pine's shoulders. There's no disagreeing there, but it works. The balance worked. I never felt uncomfortable watching her do this. It really did work for me. But let's go to final thoughts and let's give a start out to Lola for your first. And I don't know if you know how final thoughts work. It's just your summation of your opinion, final things you want to say, and then you have to give what we could call the arbitrary review. For instance, if I was reviewing Batman v Superman right now, I would give it one broken batarang out of 10. You know, so you pick some arbitrary thing out of some arbitrary number system.
And I don't get the benefit of hearing someone else do it first.
Oh, you want someone else to go first? Okay, Sarah.
I kind of already gave my final thoughts like a third of the way in, but I loved this. I thought it was so much more refreshing than the other DC Universe movies that have come out. And even looking at the Justice League preview, I was like, this looks like the same dark, humorless shit that we've already seen. And Wonder Woman, I mean, it's not as Joss Whedon-y as the Avengers movies, but it does have some humor in it, enough humor. And I think that it's about frickin' time that we have a female superhero who is not a, you know, a personalityless sex object. I came out of it like doing the ping, ping, ping thing with my imaginary wrist guards.
Would you say, gadoosh, I was like, wow, I pictured a big
bubble. Today we're doing pew, pew. Come on, not gadoosh, gadoosh.
Okay.
Advanced
pew, pew.
And I know that like so many girls are going to watch that and be like, this is what I want to be. I mean, it's kind of like how I would watch Xena when that was on and I was, you know, a kid. That was like, oh my God, I want to be Xena. And I can imagine like 10-year-old girls being like, oh my God, I want to be Diana. And that's awesome.
So you just got a thing for Amazon princesses.
I do.
That's what you're saying.
I like my Amazon. And, you know, Gal Gadot, I think she has potential. When she was originally cast, I was not happy. But I think she has a lot for her future as Wonder Woman. I'm hoping that she doesn't get stupid in the Justice League movie. I'm going to give this movie 8 out of 10, kick-ass female warriors.
There you go. Chris Herman?
This is the best of the DC cinematic extended universe films, whatever you want to call it at this point. It is. I'm not going to take that away from it. But, like I said, it does have some problems. I still feel like Gal Gadot was miscast as his character. Yes, she does have great chemistry with Chris Pine. A lot of that is thanks to him. I think that when they had the back and forth with that kind of naivete, when she's learning about the world, and when they're not mocking her because of it, I think that's great. It's just when she's having those emotional moments, whether it be between her mother or her aunt or anyone else, that's when it feels very inauthentic. I think a lot of the action is poorly filmed. There's an over-reliance on slow motion CGI. Probably my favorite fight scene in the movie is less than like a minute long, and it's just her fighting Danny Houston in a guard tower. Because mm-hmm. It was all practical, it was up close, but they showed exactly what was going on. It's like, give me more of that. That's when it worked best. At the same time, like I said, it's the best of the DC movies, and I certainly hope that Patty Jenkins is involved later on. Have her direct Justice League 2, not only the Wonder Woman sequel. Have her in charge of this. Get rid of Zack Snyder and all these other filmmakers who don't know what they're doing. So, but for me, I still enjoyed it, despite my problems. I give it 7 out of 10 steel bouncing bullet bracelets.
Bouncing bullet
that's
bracelets.
That's what they're called.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that the technical? I actually don't know what they're called.
Wrist
they've
got
to have a real name, though. Like
gauntlets.
What they call them.
Gauntlets.
Gauntlets. Well, because like in the original
bracelets.
Comics, they were more like just bracelets.
They're wristbands, yeah.
I guess somebody was like, okay, let's... I know she bounces not, bullets, but...
I know in the original, it was supposed to be like shackles, kind of.
Oh, is that what that was?
Because it was the whole BDSM thing.
Oh, right.
I know something about comic books, Chris.
And I don't want to intimidate you all, but I've spent some time working at Renaissance Fair.
Yeah.
And I believe they're called Vambraces.
Now her headpiece, what would you call it?
Tiara.
Awesome.
Tiara.
It's tiara.
Ew,
I know,
no,
it sounds
tiara
too
is
girly.
Crown.
Yeah.
It's her Sailor Moon thing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Lola, you think you're ready?
Sure. All yeah. Right. So I guess my final thoughts are on something that we only just very briefly touched on, which has to do with the audience and who was this really made for? And I think there's been kind of this interesting phenomenon with this, you know, kind of glut of comic book movies where it's kind of like adult audiences have taken over ownership of comic books and comic book movies. And in some cases, that's totally appropriate. Like, were they ever to make a Trans-Metropolitan movie or something, I wouldn't be like, I want a Spider Jerusalem. I can bring my 5-year-old. To, you know? But like, this is Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. And I very much saw this through the lens of like, I first started seeing action movies and stuff like that when I was about 11 years old. And, you know, that's how old I was when I saw Aliens. And it had such a huge effect on me. So I was very much seeing this through a lens of partly, you know, like, oh, I wish I could have seen this when I was 11 years old.
Same.
You know, and like when my children are older, I would love for them to see this. And that really is one of the things that made me feel so joyful watching this is thinking of young girls watching this movie. So yeah, I would give this like solid 9 out of 10 preteen self-esteem points.
Nice. Yeah, that's really high for preteen.
Yeah. Yeah, no one gets it.
Marco?
I love this movie, and I do have some qualms, but they are mostly in the technical department. I don't really blame that at the feet of the actors, or not entirely on the director either. However, despite those reservations, this was a great ride, and one of my favorite bits came very early on in the movie, I should just point out, because we haven't mentioned it. There's a moment where we see the young Diana, as a child, watching the Amazon study, how to martial arts, and she just starts going, bah, bah, bah.
That was me.
And I thought
that
is every little girl in that audience. And in answer to your question about who are these films made for, we like to think they're made for everybody. That's what they say. Oh, they're made for everybody. This is not a movie for women. It's not a movie for men. This is a movie for children, kids. And when we grew up, and Chris and I were talking about this, we had Luke Skywalker. We had Superman by Christopher Reeve. We actually had heroes who were decent to the core, who were role models, who were examples, who weren't a bunch of, you know, emo, you know, aggressive, you know, nutcases. You had people you could look up to, and it's pretty much damn time that kids get to go to the movie and experience a hero that's someone they'll never live up to, but they could at least aspire to be.
And are you saying I will never be Wonder Woman?
I thought you already were.
You were already Wonder Woman. And you did really well. Sorry, without Diana. Having that as an example. But think how much more easier it's going to be for little girls who get to see that. A lot of us didn't grow up with that. And it's not just for girls. Because boys will also benefit from seeing this depiction. Mm-hmm. And also just seeing how those characters relate to it. Like I said, I had a few issues, but they were mostly the standard third act kind of, you know, CGI porn that I have a problem with every movie. I would give this movie 9 out of 10 Vambraces.
I think we all, even when we differ, we're not differing that much.
No.
And we're coming down on this one. I agree with you, Marco. It is for kids, but it's not a movie that's like, it's just for kids. It's dumb. Right. Don't worry about
exactly.
it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's smart enough that adults can enjoy it. It has the balance of a well done adult film, but there's nothing in here that is so dark or confusing.
I think some of the World War One like gore might be a little on the line, but like older kids.
But it's not even that gory.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, that guy's leg is missing, but it's not like, you know, a Saving Private Ryan scene.
He's
like,
blow off.
Yeah, it's bandaged up. There's nothing terribly. There's nothing that you couldn't show on a network television.
Yeah, true.
You know,
Jenkins said she wanted this to be as PG as possible, specifically because she wanted kids to be able to come and attend this scene.
But I also like that she is a warrior. She's not like mm-hmm. the cartoon version of her. She's like, Wonder Woman isn't Superman, where like she's like, no matter what, I'm not going to kill, at least in the comic books. She's like, no, I'm a warrior. We're trained to kill, but that's not the first thing you look for to do. Mm-hmm. And she's this great balance of those things. I actually really like Gal Gadot. It sounds so weird saying it that way, but I know it's her name. She should change her name to Gadot is all I'm saying.
I mean, if we were in France, we could say Gadot.
We'd be waiting for her all day.
Snuck it in.
Yeah,
snuck it in.
I couldn't help it. It's fun to watch is what it comes down to. We've said everything there is to be said, I think, about this movie. And the number one point is it's really fun to watch. I was never bored with this. I felt a sense of elation every time we saw a power jump from her. And we say, wow, she can do that too. I mean, the first time she lifts up something huge, she picks up a tank. I was like, you know, although it would have been kind of cool to have her go, whoa.
Yeah.
I just did that. Did you guys see that? Hey, guys, check this out.
We had that moment when she was climbing the tower.
We did.
That's the I know kung fu moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I can do this.
I think this is charming. Where do I think this ranks on the Marvel versus DC scale? I think there are definitely some Marvel films I still think are much better than this, but it's a lot better than a lot of those. So it's kind of right in the middle of the scale of those. I do kind of wish the plot was a little better, but you know, the plot is kind of just in service to introducing this character. So as it is, I give it 8 out of 10 sexy use golden lassos.
Not for the male gaze.
No.
Not for the male gaze.
Why not?
Our movie.
I can't say she's sexy.
If I can say Chris Pine is dreamy.
I encourage you to say Chris Pine is dreamy.
Dream boyfriend.
I mean, let's face it. I know Chris is all about the Chris Pine being dreamy.
He's one of those complimenting the most throughout the film.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to oneofus.net and don't forget your towel.